News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
I'm joined by former Thomas Minister Francis Fitzgerald, currently a member of the G7 Equality Advisory Council and ambassador for the anti-trafficking organisation Ruhama. And if I think the minister, if I remember rightly, the minister who brought in the first free childcare, pre-primary childcare year. Wasn't that right?
Certainly is. A minister for children had a lot to do with expanding childcare, but it just shows you, listening to Donal, how much more needs to be done.
Do you think there's any likelihood of hitting the under 200 a month?
Only if
number?
You put in another 2 billion. I mean, that's the probably the price tag. So, I mean, how do you get to, if you really wanted a subsidised childcare system, I think you're probably talking, you know, about a three billion budget. It's huge.
Annually.
To get it going. Yeah, I think so.
The reason Francis Fitzgerald is here, of course, is not actually to talk about childcare. It is to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not have seen and give some analysis on some of those that you have. First among them, the situation that reminds us of how strange the world is that we're currently living in. The argument between the US president and the Pope continues. And now the Pope is going to meet Marco Rubio because the president claims that the Pope is endangering Catholics.
Well, Rubio says he's not meeting him because of that. This is routine. But nobody believes that. He's going to see the Pope on Friday. And Vance was sidelined. And it's Rubio, the US Secretary of State. Trump in yet another late night interview with a prominent conservative radio talk show host on the US-based Salem News Network, whatever that is. He said that the Pope is really endangering a lot of Catholics because he's encouraging Iran to have nuclear weapons.
The Pope is encouraging Iran to have nuclear weapons.
But the Pope has never encouraged Iran to have nuclear
weapons. Well, because he's the
Pope. He's never said he wants Iran, but he has opposed the war. So Trump has now jumped to the point of saying, well, he's endangering Catholics because he wants this dreadful crowd to have nuclear weapons. And
I'm missing a subtlety in this, but if you were advising the Pope, would you tell him he is wise to give an audience to the Secretary of State? Or does it come a point that says, I will be extricating myself from this entire mess?
I don't think so. He seems to be quite an outspoken Pope. I mean, I think it's very refreshing to hear a Pope actually apply the theory of peace to an actual situation. I mean, Popes have been criticised in the past for not saying anything. But it's head on with Trump. And Trump takes him on, of course, despite the fact that so many Catholics voted for Trump in the last election. So you would think he's risking his electorate somewhat, but he doesn't seem to care.
It does. To some extent, I wonder, does it raise the question of how much sway does the Pope actually hold with Western Catholics? Does the fact that he's battling with Donald Trump, does it make a difference to them?
Do you know what? I think Catholics, or even lapsed Catholics listening to him, would have a secret sort of sense of good on you. Because he's out there being very frank, very open. How many leaders, apart from Mark Carney, and I know the EU does it in a different sort of way, but he's but he's really grabbed the headlines in terms of his outspokenness as a Pope. So I think it's a really interesting, I think it's a moral leadership, actually.
Well, while we're on the topic of outspoken moral leadership, let's move to our second story of the morning, which is that former teacher Enoch Burke has refused to purge his contempt of court, banning him from Wilson's Hospital School. Another person who is committed to his views in public.
Utterly committed to his views. I mean, he says it's for one reason. The courts say, no, it's not. It's because you're trespassing. He says it's because I'm defending my views and I don't want to use the various pronouns he's been asked to use for students. And he's refused to purge his contempt. The courts continue, as always, just doggedly having him up before them, as he is also dogged. And they say, you can purge your contempt. If you don't, you're in prison. He says, no, I won't. And he's now, I mean, it's close to a couple of hundred days in prison now.
Now, all of which, I mean, I'm not saying that either party is culpable for this, but all of this is starting to cost the state a fortune. It is not cheap to keep somebody in jail. It's not cheap to rack up fines that don't get paid. This is an expensive endeavour for us.
Of course it is. But, you know, you have to put that against maintaining the rule of law, the courts, and how they uphold their authority. I mean, do they give in to this one person? You know, they have their rules. There is a rule of law. He's disobeying it. As far as the courts are concerned, he says, no, there's a punishment for him.
Have you any sense of what end game will look like? Or will we all be in retirement homes listening to Enoch Burke bounce in and out of jail?
Possibly.
Smart watchmakers, meanwhile, are seeking exemptions from new battery regulations on wearable tech devices. This is one of those that gets us right to the nexus of the argument, where on one side you have big business saying the EU should find something better to do with its time and stop rooting with how we make our products. And at the other end, there is the EU saying, but for us, you'd all have 9 million different types of chargers. We're on the side of the consumer.
It's a really USA, I think, type of, you know, argument about whether you need regulation or you don't need regulation, how much regulation. Now, the Irish tech industry lobby here in Ireland has said that the new EU environmental regulations, they say from early next year, products sold in Europe should be made so that portable batteries are easy for customers to remove.
So if I have a phone and the battery gets bad, instead of having to buy an entire new phone or spend hundreds getting somebody to take it apart.
Well, they say tech products, but they are talking about, you know, smart watch makers. So I'm not quite sure how why they want this to be, but it's for smart watches to be exempt as of now. Thin edge of the wedge. but they are saying the EU will be behind getting new products, and they'll be much slower getting them, and they'll be bulkier, they'll be heavier and less waterproof if you don't go along with this.
They said similar things though when the EU enforced USB-C chargers to be universal on phones. And once the rule came in, everybody sort of their tails between their legs.
Even meeting US business people, they really feel completely oppressed by EU regulation. On the other hand, the EU is changing its regulations to be less onerous on business because they feel that they went too far over the last number of years. So there's probably a place in the middle where they will meet, but the EU isn't going to give up its standards, its environmental standards and other values to meet, you know, big tech requirements in terms of protecting vulnerable consumers, children, for example. So this is yet another example of trying to push the door open, I think, from the tech industry.
Frances, thank you very much. That is Frances Fitzgerald, former Taoiseach, the currently member of the G7 Equality Advisory Council and ambassador for the anti-trafficking organisation Ruhama.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.